Motorsport 411 presents
all the four and two-wheeled action.
Motorsport 411 with Sean Cardavillas.
Welcome to Motorsport 411, your home for all your four and two-wheel action in Africa. Coming up in this episode, we find out all about autocross and the Clubman Rally held in Mombasa. We speak to 15-year-old Neil Gohill, who participated in both events. And we get the latest motorsports news from South Africa with Colin Hasty.
All the four and two-wheeled action. Motorsport 411.
Welcome to the show. So autocross was held on Saturday and the Clubman Rally held on Sunday at the Mombasa Cement Complex. These events were organized by the Mombasa Motor Club. At the autocross on Saturday, Eric Bengi won the four-wheel drive turbo class and was the fastest overall, while on Sunday at the Clubman Rally, Abuchi Pui won the four-wheel drive class, while in the two-wheel drive class, Amon Ganatra was fastest, and in the buggies, it was Yusuf Pasta who was fastest. Now, 15-year-old Neil Gohill took part in both the autocross and the Clubman Rally. Neil, thank you so much for speaking to us on Motorsport 411. Congratulations, finishing first and second in your class in the autocross that took place on Saturday. Just to confirm, the two-wheel drive non-turbo buggy class is the one that you won. And then the two-wheel drive non-turbo car class, you finished second. Congratulations. And then you also took part in your first club rally. That was on Sunday at the same venue at Mombasa Cement. That was a very, very good weekend for you.
Yeah, it was. I started off with the autocross on Saturday, did well in the buggy, and also did well in the car. So we were competing against strangers in the buggy class. In the car class, we were competing against proper works car classes. So we did pretty well.
All right, we'll go on to that in just a moment. The conditions out there, there's been a lot of rain, just like around the country. It must have been very tricky for you to drive.
Yeah, so in Mombasa, it wasn't the dry heat that you would normally be expecting in Mombasa Cement. Instead, it was raining and it was pouring throughout the whole event. So it was difficult. There was a lot of sliding and going off and spinning out, and the track was sometimes not visible because your wipers didn't work. So yeah, it was fun. It was a good experience as well.
All right. Now, we'll talk about the buggy in just a moment, but the two-wheel drive non-turbo car, you got that car from Safina Khan. It is a Wits. Just tell us about that.
So, yeah, we did get that car from Safina Khan, ex Ahil Khan raced. So, that car is a year 2000 Wits. It's competed in the championships before me, and it won a championship. And this car is an amazing autocross car. It has power, and it's very good. It's just that we had some difficulties on the weekend in the car as well. And yeah, in terms of performance, this car handles like a proper car.
It has been heavily modified, if I remember right. It's even got a bigger engine in it, yeah?
Yeah, it has a 1800cc instead of a 1500, which it normally comes with.
All right, and tell us about your buggy.
My buggy, so it started off in 2021 as a 1000cc. And we changed it to a 1500cc due to lack of power. So now it's a 1500cc manual engine, Toyota, of course. And yeah, it's just the simplest buggy you can find. It's the definition of just getting a frame, putting suspensions on it, and putting the proper rally tires, and good to go for race.
Now, you've been getting a lot of experience in autocross. Just tell us about your autocross career.
So I started off in 2021 as like a rookie season in the buggy. So I did one or two events in my 1000cc, and my father and my team were seeing that I had no power at all on the straights, and my competition would just hammer my times properly. So we decided by the fourth race, actually, I missed the third race due to personal commitments. By the fourth race, we would change it to a 1500cc. And in that first race, I did win that race with the new engine. And due to missing that event, we weren't able to win the championship, but it gave me a lot of experience, which helped me a lot for the next season, 2022 season, where I managed to get first overall in my category, two-wheel drive, non-turbo buggy junior. And yeah, I managed to get that championship as well.
Your dad, Sushil Gohil, he's a former rally driver as well. So he's really been an inspiration for you, huh?
Yeah, so he used to rally back in 2006, 2007. He stopped rallying during that time due to an accident. His first rally, I think he came 9th overall, which is impressive for like a rookie. And yeah, he's a big inspiration. Also, he's the team manager as well. So he makes sure the car is proper, perfect, doesn't break down. And yeah, he's just a big inspiration and the reason why my team is still there.
Not forgetting your mom, Sangeeta, as well. Your sister, Rhea, she also took part in the autocross this weekend.
Yeah, so we have a Evo 7, which she took part in the open class. She managed to get third in her category, which is impressive. I didn't even expect that myself. And yeah, it was impressive from her. And yeah, it's good to see my sister, especially coming into motorsport. And I'm sure she'll do a few more events. And hopefully she will to represent the women as well, which is good.
Okay, so you took part in your first Clubman rally. Of course, you want to go into rallying as well. You're just 15 years old. You got Wayne Fernandez, who's mentoring you.
Yeah, so he sat as my co-driver and I learned a lot from him because he used to sit with Darren Miranda and Roger Tetti, who he still does sit with for the KNRCs. And yeah, he taught me a lot about time control and how to come out of service on time and how penalties work. Yeah, Wayne was just amazing for my path. And yeah, I hope for the more clubmans that we do, he still navigates me because I learned a lot from him.
Tell us about the differences between the rally on the Sunday and a normal autocross for you.
So on an autocross, you send the car. You just take the track and you send it. You send the limiter to the full maximum. And you just make sure that you're reaching the finish line. But in the rally, you have to be more smart about your decisions. So if you say, if you see the track is becoming more slippery, you say, since I don't want to go off and break the car, I need to take it slowly here. I need to take it quickly here. So I learned quite a lot, actually, because I was in the first stage. Wayne told me to stop driving like it was autocross, and we managed to get better timings actually because of not going off, not sliding off, not spinning off. So yeah, that it's much different. It's more of keeping the car together, making sure you don't tire.
What car did you use on Sunday?
I used my Vitz, the two-wheel drive.
Oh, fantastic. So for you, you've got aspirations of being a rally driver. What would be your plans in terms of rallies?
So at this moment, I want to finish my autocross career, I want to finish it for this season. Since next year, I have also my exams, so I'll take a break on my autocross. I'll compete in a few rally crosses that are happening just to get my experience. And then hopefully, if I do get allowed, do the KNRC one or two events maybe sitting with a co-driver. And if a co-driver older than me who can drive on transport stages and like that.
It's easy to forget you're just 15 years old. You know, the seat time, it's very important at your age to try and get as much seat time, huh?
Yeah, it is. So balancing school and doing autocross is very difficult, actually, since like most of your days, the weekdays are just at school. And then when you get home, you're studying for upcoming exams or something like that. And then the weekends is the day. So you get 2 out of the 7 days just to prepare for your rallies, autocrosses and stuff.
By the way, you're in my old school Hillcrest. So well done. Nice to see somebody from Hillcrest doing so well in the motorsports world.
Yeah, it's nice. I've heard a few people from motorsports from Hillcrest, and it's nice to be representing Hillcrest as well in motorsports, which is cool.
All right. Another question that's coming in here. Why do you love motorsports?
I love motorsports. So actually, this love started when I was very young. So I don't know if you know the movie Cars. That used to be my favorite movie when I was growing up. So I used to watch that movie. I probably watched it over 100 times. So then I watched that, and then I came across my dad's old videos, and I told my dad, Dad, I really love racing. So he took me for a few go-karting. The first one I managed to go-karting events. The first one I managed to, I think, get second, which is impressive for the first time without lack of practice. And yeah, so I developed my love for motorsports from young.
I'm sure you understand the sacrifices your family's made for you. You know, seeing your sister, your mom and your dad there at the autocross events in particular, I'm sure you appreciate the sacrifices they make, huh?
Yeah, I do. So my family are very supporting of me. They make sure everything is ready. My mom makes sure we are fed during the events. My sister makes sure I have good media, good photos such as that. And my dad makes sure the team and the car is ready for the event, which is amazing. And I'm so happy and I'm so blessed to be part of a family like this who supports me through my loving for this motorsport.
Neil Gohill, thank you so much for speaking to us on Motorsport 411. We really appreciate you taking the time out to speak to us.
Thank you so much, Sean, for having me.
We'll be back.
All the four and two-wheeled action.
Motorsport 411.
Welcome back. Now let's fly to South Africa and get the latest motorsports news with our correspondent from Race Day TV, Colin Hasty. Colin, thank you so much for speaking to us on Motorsport 411. Where are you and what's happening in your neck of the woods?
Sean, great to talk to you again and the rest of the African motorsport fans. And we're in George on the southern end of South Africa, right on the coastline in Knysna, in fact. George is the main airport around here. And we're here for the Samola Hill Climb, which is a blast up 1,930 meters of the access road to the Samola Hotel. And over the 3 days, there's 180-something odd vehicles split into Classic Car Friday, which all the old classic cars ranging from a 1924 Austin Special, a Model T Ford, up to Chevron B29s, March 79B, and the latest Lola, or the last of the Lola Formula Atlantic cars. Absolutely brilliant. Pretty much looking at the history of cars, kind of like the Goodwood Festival. And that's on Friday. Then we move into the big thing, what they call the King of the Hill, which is the wildest drag and hill climb cars in South Africa come out to play. And the big news that we've got really is that Peter Solberg and his brother Henning have come out to compete in the event. Peter Solberg's running the WRX, the Rallycross Polo supercar, which is going to be very, very interesting. Up against probably the two other fastest cars is Richard Rutz and Franco Scribanti in Nissan R35 GTR, 1600 horsepower, 1500 kilograms. And then there's also a single seater category, and Andre Bezuidenhout is the current record holder. And to give you an idea of the speed, his record time is 34.1 seconds, average speed from a standing start of 200 kilometers an hour. It is a spectacular event. So we've come to set up the streaming, so it'll be live streamed through the Samola channel, the Race Day channel, and also through Hill Climb Monsters. It's going to be a glorious event. Absolutely fantastic.
Unbelievable. It's been a busy period for motorsport in South Africa. What else has been happening?
Well, we've had the second round of the Endurance Series. The South African Endurance Series was at Red Star this last weekend. And it was quite interesting because, you know, we've got the Rally Raid Series, and Henk Latergan is fighting back against Janiel de Villiers to win that championship back. And he raced with his father in a Porsche 911, 911, the GD3 Cup, the latest version of it, which, and I forget the numbering. It just gets so confusing. The one with all the carbon fiber and the aero, and they won it. So that's the first one that their father and son won, along with Verissimo Tavares. So that was a brilliant race. We also had cross-country race, and we're just getting ready in another week's time. This next weekend is a cross-country race in KwaZulu-Natal. And it's Ford have done a huge amount of work on the new Ranger, the EcoBoost Ranger. So they should be get back at being really competitive. They showed good pace in the last race. And I think we fully expect the Toyota Gazoo Racing cars to win again. Flat out fight at the front between Janiel de Villiers and Henk Laudichon. Going to be an absolutely brilliant, brilliant race. So I suppose those are the highlights that we've got. And I suppose to look out for is the next GTC round, which is in another 2 weeks' time. So that's the news of the current racing series that are on the go.
Motorsports, of course, looks to be quite healthy at the moment. Formula One, a lot has been talked about, particularly over the last year, the possible return of Formula One to Kyle Lamy in 2024. Colin, what are you hearing on your end?
Well, a combination of nothing, suppressed news, shall we put it this way, which in my, so there's the suppressed news, and then there's a lot of detail coming out. So it's a combination. So on the official channels, when they start going quiet, one suspects that there's announcement about to be made. The hot rumors, and many people have shared with me that a probable date is looking like early April, so second week of April of 2024. You'll recall that this year we had that long break in the beginning of April. That is a legacy, I'm told, of no South African Grand Prix this year. And that is the period that's been penciled in for the 2024 South African Grand Prix. It is the people I've spoken to, and some of them are very close to intimate knowledge of the situation, say that we should be able to hear something official by the middle of this month, by the middle of May, by the 15th of May. If it hasn't been announced, it can't happen, because there's a huge amounts of infrastructure timely infrastructure. And what do we mean? What does that really mean? And I think it centers around the TechPro barriers. There's one supplier of TechPro barriers in the world for Formula One, and the only available supply of current TechPro barriers sits inside Russia. So chances of that getting out of Russia into South Africa is probably zero. So they'll have to be made from scratch. From a timing point of view, if the green light isn't given before the end of May, that won't be ready for an April date in South Africa. So that's the one thing. The other is some of the construction of all runoff areas at Kyle Lamy have to be tarred. And that also takes a significant time. And then, believe it or not, the paint. And the paint for, around the curbs and edges of the track, the white paint and the red paint that goes on the curbs, comes from one supplier, an official FIA-approved supplier. And they're having some production issues. So unless they get an order by the end of May, we ain't going to have any white lines around the track. So these are the long-term planning issues. Is only as simple as putting paint on the track can stop a race is interesting. I am feeling more confident about a Grand Prix within the next 12 months in South Africa than I have for many, many years. I think it's going to happen. I hope it's going to happen because it'll be absolutely fantastic.
Very, very interesting. Now, a question I know I, along with a lot of people outside of South Africa, would be asking is, the sports scene, when watching the likes of SuperSport, is very, very healthy in South Africa. We see from rugby, you know, they're big sporting events that are happening. Motorsports is incredible. It's on another level. You got world-class sporting activities happening. That despite the challenges of the economy, how does it carry on? Sports is seen as a critical part of the economy. How does it carry on despite the challenges of load shedding and, you know, the likes of that?
Well, I think load shedding, just to address that, or blackouts, rolling blackouts, if you want to call it that, is we have probably become world leaders in coping with erratic electricity supply. And each of in a sporting event, you've got the infrastructure at the venue and the level of generators. Solar power that's been installed is quite phenomenal. And then where it does get difficult is from the TV coverage for sponsors and advertisers. And now I think a lot of the coverage is moving towards streaming or delayed live watching. So it's almost as if sport will continue despite the best efforts of governments to make it as difficult as possible. The resilience of the sporting people, the fans, the organizers, and it ranges across rugby, soccer, cricket, Formula E in Cape Town a couple of weeks ago, the Somola Hill Climb where we are now, tennis tournaments, right down to paddle tournaments that the all new infrastructure is built to be virtually independent of regulated supply of electricity. So you can't keep a good sporting group down, and you can't starve the masses of sports very easily. We'll find a way.
Just going to rallying, of course, we've got next month, in fact, in June, the 23rd to the 26th of June, the WRC Safari Rally. What's happening on the rally scene? Do you see it bouncing back? You know, are the entries increasing this year?
As you mentioned, rallying, my heart jumped and my heart sank because the fact that you've got WRC in Kenya is just phenomenal. And you know, I've really, really got to make a plan to try and get out for that. We had to cancel our first round of the South African Rally Championship, which is due to be held in Cape Town, in Eston, which is about 150 kilometers from Cape Town. And it just so happened to be, it was at the wrong time and a wrong venue for it to be a success, just from a confluence of issues. So that was moved, and we now go to Delmas, which is the first rally. So having said that, yes, the first one was cancelled due to mainly economics, hugely expensive to run it in that area. We're seeing more four-wheel drive cars being made in South Africa. We see another two four-wheel drive cars being imported. And we see a bigger entry for this, what will now be the first round of the South African Rally Championship. So it's kind of a weird dichotomy where you cancel one event, then go to the second event with a bigger, more healthy entry. So if you ask me what's going on, I've got to say, I have no idea, but we're going to have a brilliant race.
Colin, just a quick question. Just going back to Formula One, do you see MotoGP heading to Kyalami, you know, if the upgrades are made for Formula One? Obviously, there's a slight difference between a Formula One track and a MotoGP track, but MotoGP has been away for a number of years. Do you see MotoGP returning?
Absolutely not. I have reasonable confidence that there will never be a MotoGP race at Kyalami. The levels of track changes are just too huge. It will not happen. And of that, I'm pretty confident that we will not have a MotoGP race in South Africa in the next 5 to 10 years. It will be have to have something absolutely exceptional for us to have a MotoGP race here. We've got more chance of a World Endurance Sports Car Championship race coming. That would be something that is very, very doable and feasible with the, you know, even now they could come right now that the Kyle Army track is fully licensed for WEC. But to go back to your MotoGP question, sadly, with Brad Binder doing as well as he is, not going to happen in South Africa, in my opinion.
Any reason why?
Cost of changing the track. You cannot have the curbs that that work with cars. The MotoGP track environment is completely different to what is in existence at Kyle Army, which is, I believe, the only track that it's feasible to run a MotoGP race in South Africa. So it would mean every curb would have to be redone. Drainage areas would have to be changed. There are some drains particularly in the second S area that would need complete new drainage areas because they would be in the path of bikes. So just purely the cost of building the track to both Formula One and MotoGP standards.
Very, very interesting. Colin, as always, thank you so much for speaking to us on Motorsport 411. We do hope you'd have some time. You're able to come for the WRC Safari Rally, and we hope to see you in Kenya.
I would love to be there, Sean, and what a privilege to speak to you and everybody involved. Thank you so much for this, and I look forward to next time, and hopefully seeing you at WRC in Kenya.
That's Colin Hasty of Race Day TV. We'll be back.
Motorsports 411 with Sean Cardavillis.
So that's it for the show this week. Our thanks very much to Neil Gohill and Colin Hasty. Don't forget to follow Colin Hasty on Race Day TV. You can find Race Day TV on YouTube and Facebook. Our thanks as always to Big City Studio. I'm Sean Cardavillis. See you next week.